in our lives to help us to grow, to change, to become more like Jesus in our attitudes, in our actions, in our thoughts, in our desires. What are some of those things that God uses? And we've talked about scripture and prayer and worship and fellowship. One of the other things that God uses in our lives, and one of the things I've seen God use in my life, perhaps more than many of those other things, is witnessing or sharing my faith, of telling other people about Jesus. And some of you know my story. I grew up in a religious family, but I did not know Jesus. I didn't have any understanding of what it meant to have a relationship with Christ, of the offer of forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ. And my mom, who was also very religious, she started listening to the Christian radio station, and they advertised a camp. And my mom, contrary to what our family usually does, she decided to send me to camp. And the first year was when God began to work in my heart, the first year I went to camp. I went again 2 years later, and that's when I heard and understood the message of the gospel, of the offer of forgiveness of sins. And on June 29th, 1983, I placed my faith in Christ, trust in Christ alone for salvation. I went back that next year when I was 15, and I learned how to share the gospel. I learned how to tell other people about Christ. They had an outline that you could memorize, and I memorized the gospel outline that week. Now I went home and I began to talk to my mom, and my mom, who was very religious and listened to the radio station, said, "Oh, I've heard all that before. Go and talk to your dad." So I went to talk to my dad. It was the beginning of July, and I shared with him the gospel outline that I had learned, and we sat there in his bedroom, and then when I was done, I asked him if he wanted to receive Christ, and we both got down on our knees, and my dad prayed to receive Christ as his Savior at 55 years of age and walked with the Lord for another 39 years, and now is in heaven. I had the opportunity shortly after that to share the gospel with one of my brothers, and he came to Christ. After high school, I had gone to, in high school actually, when I was 16, I started going to this youth group, and at the youth group, they were sharing the gospel message, and afterward, I saw this kid, he was really unsettled, and I walked up to him and asked him what he thought about the message. And then I asked him, "Do you know that you have eternal life?" And he said, "No." And so I began to share the gospel with him. And he prayed with me to accept Christ there at the youth group. When I was in college, my freshman year in college, I signed up for this Sunday school class called Evangelism Explosion. I didn't realize how much work was involved in this, but Evangelism Explosion, EE, is this very detailed gospel outline with memory verses, and you have to memorize all of the illustrations. And so I took this Sunday school class, and every Sunday we would take the class, and then after we would go to lunch, and then after lunch we would go out into the community and share the gospel. And over that time, I ended up doing that almost every semester while I was in college and going out and sharing the gospel and seeing people come to Christ. And over the years, and I as I was thinking about this and thinking about the opportunities that God has given me, not as a pastor, but as a Christian, just as a follower of Christ, to share the gospel one-on-one with hundreds and hundreds of people over the years, and to be privileged to see many of those people come to faith in Christ. In fact, I started writing down a list and thinking of stories and instances of opportunities that God has given me. People who've come over for lunch and they had a chance to hear the gospel and prayed to receive Christ. And again, there's just so many times I saw God at work. There was one time when I was in when I was new in ministry, I started attending a singles group at another church because I was at Shell Point. I've mentioned this. Average age was 77. So I didn't go to their singles group. I went to another church. And one Friday night, we were going to Chili's, and there was a whole bunch of us, like 25 of us, going out to Chili's restaurant. And we were sitting there, and most of the people I knew, there was actually one guy that I'd never seen before. And so we sat there, and over time, people began to leave until eventually it was only just a few of us, and this one guy was there, and I went over and I sat down and I started talking to him. And started hearing about his life and found out that he was leaving the next day to New York. He had just graduated from law school, had passed the bar in New York, and he was moving up to New York the next day. And so as we were sitting there, over the course of hours, the conversation fell on the gospel. I found out that he didn't have a relationship with Christ, that he had started attending this singles group a few times, but that he was moving the next day. And so I shared the gospel with him, and we ended the conversation. It was about 1:30 in the morning when we ended. And as we're walking out, we get out to the door, and he says, "I want to accept Christ." And so there in front of Chili's at like 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, he prayed to receive Christ. And I said, "Hey, what time are you leaving tomorrow?" And the next morning, I went to the Christian bookstore and I bought a Bible. And I gave him a Bible before he packed up and got on the plane and flew to New York. And again, as I was sitting here thinking about all of the things that God used and all the times that I've had a chance to share the gospel. Now, we don't share the gospel to grow spiritually, but that's one of the consequences of us being active in telling other people about our faith. Not only do we have an opportunity to plant seeds and to see people hear the gospel and take one step closer to faith, but God also uses it in our lives to challenge us and to cause us to grow. And so this morning I want to talk about witnessing. Why should we witness? And what is the gospel? What are the elements of the gospel? And why don't more people share their faith? Why don't more believers tell others about Christ? Now, first of all, the Bible tells us that if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, if we're followers of Christ, that He has called us to be His witnesses. He has called us to tell other people about Christ. And first of all, the main reason is because God deserves all glory. Revelation 4:11 says, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Romans 11 puts it this way, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." The reason why we exist, the reason why God created us, He created us to be worshipers. And when we share the gospel and we tell others about Christ, they become worshipers as well. And so one of the reasons why we tell others about Christ is because God deserves all glory. And we want to see His name expanded and told far and wide. Why do we tell others about Jesus? Because the Bible tells us people are lost apart from Christ. In Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That there is no one who honors God the way that God deserves to be honored. That all of us, you know, sin is anything we do that we shouldn't do and anything we don't do that we should. And the Bible tells us that by our very nature, we're sinners, and we prove it every day by the choices that we make. And so that we're sinners by nature and sinners by practice. And the fact is that every one of us has fallen short of honoring God the way that we should. The Bible also says, "For the wages of sin is death." That because we have rebelled against God and we have sinned against God, that we deserve the consequences of our actions. If I were to commit a crime and be arrested for it and stood before the judge, if the judge was just, he would say that I need to pay the penalty for my crime. And God is a just judge, and because of that, people are lost because of Christ. And the Bible tells us that those who do not accept Christ will have a Christless eternity without Jesus in conscious torment in hell. Matthew 25, 46 says this, then he answered them, and he said, truly I say to you, as you did not do this to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. He says, and those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Jesus said this, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In Hebrews chapter 9, it says that it is appointed to man once to die and then the judgment. And the reality is at the end of this life, each one of us is going to have to face the consequences of our sins. If we have accepted Christ, we've been forgiven for all of our sins, we, because of that, will go into the presence of God forever. But if we don't know Christ, if we haven't turned away from our sins and turned to Him, if we haven't asked Christ to come into our lives, the Bible tells us that we will face the consequences for those sins. And so we tell others about Jesus because we recognize that without Jesus, people are lost and will face an eternity apart from Him. Well, we tell others about Jesus because we're commanded to tell people about Jesus. What is often called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. God gave a commission not just to the pastors and elders, not just to the leaders of the church, or not just to those who have gone to Bible college or seminary, or those who have studied for years and years. God says, if you know Jesus, you have a responsibility to tell others about Him. You have a commission to share the gospel. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. We tell others about Jesus because Jesus is the only way to heaven, the only way one can be forgiven for his sins and have eternal life. Jesus himself said this, in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And the reality is that unless a person hears the gospel and places his faith in Christ, that person does not have a relationship with Christ and will not spend eternity in heaven. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says this, and there is salvation in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But the word of God is proclaimed, it is preached, it's told to others, and God does it through you and me. And so we have the privilege and the responsibility to tell others about Jesus. We have been commissioned by God. And we know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, what is the content of the gospel? What is the content of witnessing? Now, I mentioned to you that when I was in college, I took this Sunday school class called Evangelism Explosion. Over the years, as I've counted all of the different classes I've taken in college and seminary and local churches that I've been a part of, I want to say, I think it was, if I counted correctly, 17 different evangelism classes that I've taken. Now, I find myself going back to this one gospel outline I learned when I was in college called Evangelism Explosion. I'm not saying it's the best way to share the gospel. I'm not saying it's the only way to share the gospel, but it's the way that I've remembered it and the way that God has used me to tell others about Christ. One of the things I appreciate about Evangelism Explosion, and this is true for any gospel outline that you remember, there are certain elements to the gospel that we need to communicate to others in order for them to understand who Jesus is and what he's done. And so E.E. puts it this way, Evangelism Explosion puts it this way. It goes through several different components. And there are others I'm going to mention after this, but this is the outline that it gives. It starts out talking about heaven, and it says, heaven is a free gift. It reminds us that that for by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one should boast. Salvation is a gift that God offers to us, and it's not something that's earned or deserved. We don't pay for it. We don't earn it. All we do is receive it. Just like if someone were to give you a gift, you wouldn't reach into your pocket and try to hand them $5 or $10. You would just receive it as your own. And so people need to understand that salvation, a relationship with Christ, eternal life, is a free gift, that heaven is a free gift. But the Bible also tells us about us, that about man, about men and women, that we are sinners, that each one of us is a sinner. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And because of that, we can't save ourselves. And so for people to know the gospel, they need to understand what the problem is. I remember one time I was in California, and interestingly, California was one of the easiest places to share the gospel. You know, people think that, you know, California would be one of the hard places, but it was actually one of the easiest places. I remember one time I was at the mall, and I started sharing the gospel with these kind of, I don't know, high school, college age guys. There were these three guys there, and I began to go through the gospel, and I started to talk about sin. And I started to explain what sin is. You know, it's anything you do that you shouldn't do, but also anything you don't do that you should. And then I asked them the question. I said, well, how many times do you think you sin in a day? And I remember one of the kids, he's like, oh, man, I sin all the time. Oh, man, it's got to be hundreds of times a day. Which is true. And so I was able to talk to him about what sin is and why we can't save ourselves, because the Bible says, you know, Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And if we wanted to get to heaven by our own good works, we would have to be perfect, never having sinned once. And because of that, we can't save ourselves. We can't earn our way to heaven. We've already broken God's law. We've already violated his commandments. We're already sinners, and we can't undo the past. But the Bible also tells us that about God. And one of the things and I like about Evangelism Explosion, but it says that God, it reminds us that God is love. And most non-Christians, if they believe anything about God, believe that God is love. But the same Bible that says God is love also says that God is just and he must punish sin. He says, I will by no means let the guilty go unpunished. And people need to understand that the same God who is a God of love is also a just God. And because he is perfectly just, he can't just ignore our sin any more than a judge could ignore somebody standing in front of him with hundreds or thousands of crimes. And so when we share Christ with others, we need to let them know about heaven being a free gift and about the fact that we're sinners and about who God is. But we also need to tell them about Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is fully God and fully man. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, or is God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. And so that Jesus is fully God and fully man. But then they also need to understand what he did, and we talked about that with communion, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins and rose again from the dead to purchase a place in heaven for us, which he offers as a free gift. And so people need to understand the message of Jesus, of what Jesus did, but to understand why he did it. He did it for you and for me. He did it to pay the penalty of sin so that we could turn from our sin and turn to Christ. And the last thing that this outline in the evangelism explosion talks about is faith. And it reminds us that faith is more than just head knowledge. It's more than just having facts about Jesus. We can have facts about something, but it doesn't change our lives. I can know that Abraham Lincoln was the 16th president of the United States. I could know that he took us through the Civil War, that he was assassinated in 1865. I could learn all of these facts about it, but it's all just head knowledge. I don't expect it to change my life. And it's more than just temporary faith. It's more than just trusting God momentarily. It's kind of like people are afraid to fly, and so they might pray before they take off, but as soon as they land, they forget about their promises and they walk away. And so they need to understand what faith is. Faith is trusting alone in Jesus Christ. It's resting in Christ alone for salvation, believing that he died for all of our sins and rose again. Now, there's other things in this culture that we will encounter. We live in a post-Christian culture, so people don't know a lot about Christianity. They don't know a lot of the stories of the Bible. Maybe that's always been true, but it's definitely true today where we can talk to people and they're a blank slate. I think I told you about this 18-year-old guy, Paul, that I met at the gym and I was witnessing to, and this is when the movie... The Mel Gibson movie was The Passion of the Christ came out. And so I asked him if he wanted to go, and it was opening weekend. So we got tickets and the place was packed. And I didn't realize until we were there watching the movie, he had no idea what was going to happen. And when they betrayed Jesus, you know the story, when they betrayed Jesus and they started yelling to crucify him, in the middle of the packed theater, he just goes, "That's messed up." And he just shouts, and he's like, "That's messed up." And he turns to me, "Why would they do that?" And after the movie was over, as we're walking down in the stadium seating, and he turns to me, he says, "Now, I know you said it was going to be a violent movie, but I didn't realize all the violence just happened to one person." He had never heard the story of Jesus before. And so with a lot of people, we have to do what is called pre-evangelism. We have to explain to them just some of the basics of the message of the Bible, of creation and the fall, of God's promise of a deliverer, and the fact that he sent Jesus. We have to lay the groundwork sometimes because they don't have a frame of reference. They don't understand the message of the gospel because they don't understand anything about the Bible. And so sometimes we have to do pre-evangelism. Sometimes we have to do what's called apologetics, or we have to answer their questions that they have. One of the ways that I grew most when I was a young Christian was I would go to Milwaukee with this group of people, and we would go out to the beach on a Friday night. I also learned how to duck from beer bottles this way. But we would go out on Friday night, and we would share the gospel out on the beach to all these people that were partying. We'd go to the parking lot where everyone would gather. They could legally drink there in the parking lot, and so people would park. And we would go there and share the gospel. But I would talk to people, and they would know different things about Christianity or religion, and they'd say, "Well, what about this?" And I'd say, "You know, I don't know, but I'm going to look it up, and I'll come back, and I'll tell you." And then I'd talk to somebody else, and they'd say, "What about that?" And I'd say, "You know, I don't know, but I'm going to look it up, and I'll tell you." And so as I shared my faith with others, and I didn't have the answers to their questions, but it forced me to dig into Scripture and to find the answers to these questions so that I could share Jesus with them. Well, why don't we witness? What are the objections to witnessing? I thought of 10 top 10 reasons why we don't witness. And I'll share them and give some of my responses to them. Some of them you've heard me address before, but I've kind of collated them together. One of the reasons why we don't share the gospel, and I've had people tell me this, well, you can't do cold turkey evangelism, just walk up to somebody and share the gospel. You need to become friends first. From my own personal experience, I've had multiple opportunities to share the gospel with people that I had just met and have seen many of them come to know Christ. And so I don't know if that's the case, but this is what some, you know, we say you need to be friends first. Now, one of the things that I think about, a friend of mine said this, and his name is Drake, and Drake said this. He's like, you know, they always say we need to have friendship evangelism, but I don't share the gospel with somebody because I'm not friends with them, and then I start becoming friends with them, and then I realize I've known them so long now, and I've never mentioned Christ. Now it's really awkward. And he said there must be that one day that it's like the perfect balance where I'm close enough friends I can tell them about Christ, but not too close that it's now awkward that I've never said anything. But the reality is that we can build rapport with somebody and genuinely care about them and be friendly and have an opportunity to share Christ with them. God does open the door to do that. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't build friendships with others, but we shouldn't use that as an excuse to not tell others about Jesus. Some people say, I've heard this one a lot, evangelism is not my gift. And I thought, great, because evangelism isn't listed as one of the gifts of the Spirit. So guess what? Everyone is called to share the gospel. Now, it's true that some people are more equipped. Some people are just naturally better at communicating or sharing the gospel. Those things are true, but that doesn't take away our responsibility to tell people about Jesus. Because God has called everyone who knows him to tell others about him. Paul tells Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. I think it's interesting because that means he wasn't an evangelist, but he still had to do the work of one. Didn't matter his gifting. He was tasked with telling others about Jesus, but that is true for each one of us. Here's another one that I've heard people say. I preach with my life. I've heard people say this too. Well, I don't talk about Jesus, but I preach to them with my life. And I think, well, you know, that's great, and that's a great first step. A consistent lifestyle is important to communicate effectively the gospel. An inconsistent life is just going to undermine anything that you say. You know, people say I've heard it said, well, you know, your life talks so loudly, I can't hear your words. You know, so if you have an inconsistent life and you're not walking with the Lord and you start talking about Jesus, they're going to look at you and it's going to ring hollow. But the problem with this is it's not enough. Because you can live a great life and be kind and considerate and thoughtful and generous and selfless. And people might look at you and say, well, you're a nice person. But I have non-Christian friends who are really nice people. And I know people from other religions that are really nice people. That just being nice to them isn't going to cause them to understand the message of the gospel. We need to put words to our actions in order for them to understand who Jesus is and what he's done. And so being a witness, it's great that you preach with your life, but you need to preach with your words as well and tell people about Jesus. I've heard people say this, it doesn't work anymore, it's a different culture. Now, it's true, it is a very different culture, and we've addressed that before. Over the last 30 years, there's been a sea change in how just people think. I remember as a new Christian and as a young believer, I would get the question often, how do you know that's true? Because they were under the assumption that some things were true and everything else that was false. And so they would ask me, how do you know that's true? People don't ask me that very much anymore. Because everyone has what they call their own truth. You have your truth, I have my truth, and we're all open to our own truth. But the reality is that the gospel cuts through the lies. And we may discuss competing truth claims, but we have to remember this, and this is important. You know, the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God to salvation to all who believe. When you tell somebody about Christ, it's not just you telling them. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the Bible says that he is the one who convicts people of sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Holy Spirit is going before you and is already working people's lives. And so it's not just you on your own. There is a supernatural reality that God is at work. And so it's not just you that have to persuade somebody, but that as you are faithful in telling people about Jesus, the Holy Spirit is the one who is working in that person's life. I remember one time when I was in Arizona and I was actually taking a class in order to teach Evangelism Explosion, and I was a pastor already, they said to us, well, you're going to go out, but your trainer is going to do all the talking. All you can do is sit there and pray. I think I've shared this before with you, and the guy who was our trainer stuttered terribly. He stuttered. And so he was talking. Well, we go to the mall and we're talking to this guy. And this guy is kind of, you know, I mean, he's sitting there and he said he's on break. And we asked if we could talk to him and he said yes. And he said, well, I don't know. I don't know if I believe the Bible. I don't know if I believe about Jesus. And this guy said, well, may I share with you how I came to know I had eternal life and how you can too? And if I don't answer your questions, you can ask me afterward. And so in spite of this guy coming up with all these objections, he said, okay. And so this guy stammered his way through the gospel presentation. And I sat there, and this is something I had been doing already for probably 10, 15 years. And I'm frustrated, but I can't say anything because I promised I wouldn't say anything. So I'm praying. And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, my goodness, this is a train wreck. And he goes, does that make sense? And the guy says, yes, and begins crying. He says, would you like to receive the gift of eternal life? And the guy said, yes. And there in the middle of the mall, this man prayed to receive Christ. It is the power of God for salvation. God is going before you. People say, well, the gospel is judgmental because if you're saying you're right, then you're saying everything else is wrong. Yes. but that's the nature of truth. You know, we truth is exclusive, okay? Truth is exclusive. If I say 2 + 2 = 4, I have excluded every other number, every other real number, and even all the imaginary ones, whatever those are. I have made a claim. And if that is true, that means if I give another answer contrary to that, that answer is false by definition. And so the reality is if Jesus is who he says he is and he's done what he said he's done, and that is true, then that means that if you say something contrary to that, it is by definition false. And we don't do that to be judgmental, but we do that because we believe that that is truth. And that we want to communicate it. Well, and somebody might say, well, that's offensive. And there is some truth to that. The gospel is offensive. Now, we have to be careful that we're not offensive. I mean, we have to be careful that we're not idiots and jerks and, you know, we're belligerent and argumentative and browbeating. We should not be offensive. But it is true that we are challenging people to think about the claim of Christ and to think about what the gospel is and what they believe. And they may become offended by that. But that's okay. It's in God's time, and that's the thing. When you share the gospel, You're trying to bring somebody one step closer to Christ, and you don't know where they are, and you don't know what God's doing. I remember one time a friend of mine, I was a pastor, and he had come up to me and he asked me, "Hey, will you do my wedding?" And I looked at him and I said, "No." And he said, "Why not?" And I had known Dan for a number of years. I said, "Your girlfriend's not a Christian. Your fiance is not a Christian. And I won't do a wedding with a Christian and a non-Christian. You're unequally yoked. I can't do it." And he said, "Well, would you be willing to talk to her?" And I said, "Okay, I'll talk to her, but I just want you to know I'm not committing to doing your wedding." And so I went over to her apartment. Dan came with me. So I went over to Betsy's house, and I began to talk to her, and Dan had already told her that we were going to talk about having a relationship with Christ, so she knew I was there. And so I shared the gospel with her, and I got to the end, and I said, "Well, does that make sense?" And she started crying, and through her tears, she says, "Yes." And I said, "Would you like to receive the gift of eternal life?" And she, through her tears, said, "No." And I began to ask her, you know, if there was something that she didn't understand or if there were any objections, and she just said, no, I don't want to accept Christ. And so I said to her, I said, "Well, I appreciate the fact that you're taking this seriously and you understand this isn't just saying what you want people to hear, but you're committing your life to Christ, that this is a decision that's important. I appreciate the fact that you recognize how important this decision is." And then I left. And I didn't know what God was going to do. About 2 weeks later, I got a call early in the afternoon from Dan. And he said, "Hey, guess what? I just got a call from Betsy. And she just told me that there in her room, in her bedroom, by herself, she prayed to receive Christ. And she started coming to church. His mom and the other ladies in the church began to disciple her. And about 6-7 months later, I had the privilege of performing their wedding. But yes, it can be offensive. We're afraid we'll turn people off. And like I said, it's the Holy Spirit. And, you know, we can't assume that people are going to reject us. You know, there's a study that says, you know, the vast majority of the people have a negative view of Christians. And that's true. They really do. And there's probably a lot of good reasons for that, but they really do. But when they're asked, "Okay, but how about the Christians you know personally and have a relationship with?" They said, "Oh, well, they're not bad, but they're the exception." Yeah, there is a negative view, but we have to be careful that we don't give an answer in advance and assume that we already know what somebody's thinking. When I was in New York City, I was taking the high school group to do evangelism, and we were in one day we were in downtown Manhattan. I was with one of the students, Ben Gray, and then a girl from another youth group, and we were out at lunch doing evangelism, and we saw this guy, and he was sitting on this cement bench. It was like a big, you know, bigger than this table, this big cement bench, and he was sitting there. He was a construction worker, looked really, you know, kind of rough, kind of dirty. And I said, and I really felt like we should go and talk to him. And so I said to the two students, I said, "Hey, let's go and talk to him." And they're like, "Oh, no, let's find somebody else." Well, they had looked at him, and they didn't think he was, you know, he didn't look like he wanted anybody to bother him. And I said, "No, I really feel like we need to go and talk to him." And so reluctantly, they agreed, and I went, and we shared the gospel with him. And when we got done, and I asked him if everything made sense, he said yes. And I asked him if he wanted to pray to receive Christ, and he said yes. And we sat there in Lower Manhattan during lunch, and he prayed to receive Christ. And because we weren't from there, I got all of his contact information, and I made sure that we were working with the local church, that local church got the information so that they could do follow-up. And he said, "Hey, I'm really sorry, but I have to get back to work. It's 1 o'clock, and I need to go back to work." And I said, "Totally understand." And so he takes off. No sooner does he take off that this impeccably dressed Asian couple who were sitting opposite to us with their backs turned to us turn around. And they said, "We've been listening to everything you've been saying, and we've been praying for you." And then they said, "He's our friend, and we've been sharing the gospel with him for 7 years, and we are so happy that we were able to hear him accept Christ." We can't assume people are uninterested. We can't assume that God, you know, we can say, well, God doesn't need us to witness. Well, God has called us to witness, and he has not only ordained the ends, but the means. God has decided it's through his people sharing the gospel that is his primary way of communicating to others. And so we have a responsibility. The 10th one is I'm scared, and that's probably the most true. And I'll be honest with you, I've never been comfortable sharing the gospel. Every time I get a pit in my stomach, I get a lump in my throat. I mean, if you strapped a blood pressure cuff to me, I'm sure it would go through the roof. It isn't something, I know how to look, you know, calm on the outside, inwardly, you know, it's not good. I don't feel comfortable sharing the gospel. I do it because God's called me to do it, and I want to be faithful, and I know people need to hear, and I want to glorify God. But it is hard. It is scary. It isn't easy. And like I said, my goal is to help somebody come one step closer to Christ. I'll give you a bonus one. I don't know what to say. You need to memorize a gospel outline. It doesn't have to be EE. There's a lot of good gospel outline, gospel presentations. I would encourage you to memorize it, memorize the verses, memorize some illustrations. And people say, well, that's just wooden. That's not, well, you know, the problem is if you don't know what to say, you're not going to be able to say it when you're with them. There's an old story about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, if you know him, he was a very powerful but uncouth preacher. And there was a person that came up to him and criticized him and said, D.L. Moody, I don't like how you preach the gospel. And then Moody said to this person, well, will you share with me how you preach the gospel? And the person stammered and said, well, I don't. And then Moody said, I prefer the way I preach the gospel compared to the way that you don't. We need to learn a way to share the gospel. I'll close with one other story. When I was in college, I worked at the Salvation Army seasonally every summer and every winter. And one summer, at the end of the summer, they decided that they were going to have a field trip for all the workers and volunteers to the Salvation Army. And so all of the workers and all of the volunteers, we got together, and we lived in Waukesha, Wisconsin, right by Milwaukee. We were going down to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. And so they rented a bus, and we all piled on the bus. And on the way there, I met this one high school kid that was a couple years younger than me that was a Christian. And we got to talking on the way down there, and we ended up hanging out the whole day. And then in the evening, you know, 8, 9 o'clock, we were getting back on the bus, and we were going back up to Wisconsin. And so we go back up to Wisconsin, and right in front of us, there's these three high school girls. And we didn't know who they were, and so we started talking to them, and they told us that they were working with the daycare, and one of the girls said that she was a graduated senior from Catholic Memorial, and the other two girls. And we started talking, and over the course of those 2 hours, we shared the gospel with them. And they were giggly. And, you know, they would talk among themselves, and they'd kind of listen and kind of not listen, and they would, you know, say dumb things. And at the end of it, I was just frustrated. I mean, I'd talk to them, and it just, I felt like, oh, man, what a waste. What a waste. I was so frustrated with just how the conversation went. And I forgot about it, went on with my life, went back to school. 2 years later, I was going to Elmbrook Church. I was going to their college group, and they had a rafting trip. And so I signed up last minute to go to this rafting trip. And we're taking vans, and we're going up to northern Wisconsin. And we're taking vans, and when we stopped for gas, everyone got out of the car, and this girl walks up to me, and she goes, do you remember me? And I'm looking at her like, no. She's like, I have something to tell you, but I'll tell you later. You know, it kind of reminds me of that joke, you know, how do you keep an idiot in suspense? I'll tell you tomorrow. That's kind of what I felt like. So we go to lunch. We stop at McDonald's, and she comes up. Did you figure it out? I said, no. And so she said, well, I'll tell you when we get there. And so we get there. And you know, she says, after we set up our tents and we set up everything, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. And so set up the tents, and then we get together, the two of us. And she said, did you used to work at the Salvation Army? And I said, yeah. She said, did you go to the Museum of Science and Industry? And I said, yeah. She said, do you remember talking to three girls on the way back from the Museum of Science and Industry? And I said, yeah. And she said, I was one of those three girls. She said, let me tell you the rest of the story. She said, I had just graduated from Catholic Memorial. I was going to the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and I got into the dorm. I didn't know anybody there, but I was in the dorms, and this other girl came up to me and said, hey, I'm going to Campus Crusade for Christ. You want to come? And she said, I had no idea what it was. I didn't have any idea what it was about, but I didn't know anybody, so I said yes. And she said, I went there all fall and, you know, went and listened. Didn't really affect me. But then they were advertising this conference after Christmas, and so I decided to sign up. Well, if you know what it is, it's actually an evangelism conference to teach people to share the gospel. She's not a Christian, and she goes. And she says the speaker was speaking, and he was talking about eternal life. And she said, I was sitting there, and all I could think about was our conversation on the back of the bus, and you kept saying that you knew you had eternal life. And she said, I was sitting there, and I realized I didn't know, and I wanted to know. And so after the service was over, I went up to the speaker, and I said, hey, I don't know how to have eternal life, but I want to know. Can you tell me? And she prayed to receive Christ. And she tells me this story. It's the only time I've ever seen her. I never saw her before, between that time, and I never saw her since. Had I not decided the last minute to sign up for that rafting trip, I never would have met her. I never would have known. You don't know what God is going to do with your faithfulness. You don't know how it's going to work. You may not know this side of heaven. But God calls us to be faithful. He calls us to tell others about Jesus. And so we do it. And we leave the results with him, but God is at work in ways that we can't imagine and we may not know this side of heaven. So tell others, be faithful. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you want us to tell others about Jesus, and we can think of all the reasons why we don't or can't or shouldn't or wouldn't. But Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts and motivate us, Lord. Help us to see your glory. Help us to see the beauty of the gospel. Help us to see the lostness of people that apart from you, that they are lost in their sins and will be separated from you for all of eternity. But Lord, you have called us to use us to tell others about Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray for each one of us that we will to do what we can, Lord. Help us to learn to be more effective, but help us to tell them what we do know. And Lord, we know that you will add the increase because you are the one who is already at work going before us. And so, Father, I pray that we will be a witnessing people, declaring the gospel for your glory. Amen.
Can I just add that relationship with the Lord is so much more than just about an eternity in heaven, but he makes a difference in my life every single day that I am here on this planet. Would you stand and sing with us as we close out the service?